Night of the Living Dead?
Of the Living Cat. Oh, yes. There's a manga about this. Yeah, they're all cats. But if they rub up on you, you turn into a cat.
Yeah.
So it's just like the zombie effect. But they're just normal cats. They don't eat you or anything.
They just turn into a cat.
Yeah, they just turn into a cat. But because they're so cute, people are like, no, look at them. There's a kitten. It's so stupid.
I forgot to see that.
Like, look at the chaos that just comes with it. All right, here we go. Ready? Mm-hmm. Coming in 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, everybody? This is the Red Band Podcast, your source for all film and TV related news and topics. I'm your host, Anthony King, and with me is my co-host,
Adrian G. Fuentes.
And of course, sitting over there in the control room is our technical director, Mike Cards.
Thank you, everybody. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Adrian, what do we have right here on the table for those who just listen to the audio? You can't see this.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, we had some sad news this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We lost our boy, George Foreman. And to honor him, I brought out the George Foreman grill.
Yes, the man, the myth, the legend, the guy who brought us indoor grilling and one of the best boxers around.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes, man's a legend.
Yes, unfortunately, George Foreman passed at the age of 76. They haven't announced what was the cause of death. It happened at a hospital near his home, but they said all the news we got was just he was surrounded by loved ones. So
yeah.
I think we have to wait a few days for him to actually come out and actually disclose the cause of death. But yes, it's very unfortunate that he passed away.
Yeah. I mean, for people who don't know his career, he had 81 fights, 76 wins, and 5 losses.
Damn.
Fought against Muhammad Ali and
Tyson.
No, Evander Holyfield.
Oh, Holyfield.
Mm-hmm. I always confuse them.
Yeah.
It's that whole thing where one side to another person, I'm just confused. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
But yeah, Evander Holyfield, he fought Ali as well. Mm-hmm.
But yes, we got the George Foreman right in front of us. Adrian's going to be making us some what?
You want some grilled cheese?
Hell yeah, I'll take it.
Originally, I was going to do burgers, but
we don't want this.
We have a smell. We have a very small studio space, and it's going to smell like meat for the next, 2 months.
Yeah. We don't need to have that.
Shit was going to get smoky. That man, he knocked out opponents, and he knocked out the fat.
Man. Oh. And what was it originally called, the George Foreman?
It's my long-ass name. Where is it at? Let's see. George Foreman Lean Mean Fat Grill. Reducing grilling machine.
Yeah.
Or everyone just knows as the Foreman grill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think eventually that became almost like a catchphrase or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like as part of his selling point.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Because not like lean, mean, fighting machine. It's lean, mean, fat reducing machine. Yeah.
You'd be like, knock out the fat. Fuck yeah. Knock that bitch out.
Mm-hmm. Was he one of the popular people who really forced the celebrity endorsement of products?
He was one of the first to start it. Not say he started, but the one that made it popular.
Got it. Yeah. Oh, you put two of them in there? Oh shit.
Damn, okay.
Well, yeah.
Actually, it might be only fit one at a time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're being a little too ambitious there.
Yeah, right.
Well, it says you can make two, but I think they meet by the meat patties, not the actual tire.
I got it.
I think you got the butter right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we... What?
Is it plugged in?
Yes, it's plugged in. It's hot as shit right now.
Does it need a towel or something underneath it so it's because there's butter on it, so it's not going to drip?
Yeah, you probably should it doesn't go on the cables.
You don't need Luna or Rusty fucking around with the carpet either.
Yeah.
Just being
smelling that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next here, what we have for our film news topic, moviegoers want more comedies, thrillers, and action titles as the Global Cinema Study finds out. This is actually pretty interesting because they did a massive survey worldwide for a lot of moviegoers. I think it was about 6,800 people.
68,000.
Oh, 68,000 people. Sorry. Yeah. But the biggest thing that a lot of people were saying what they want is actions and, weirdly enough, comedies, romantic comedies too. Yep. I never knew the day would come where romantic comedies would people want to have come back.
Yeah. As an overall, 72% of the 68,000 say they still enjoy watching movies at the theater, which is a good sign.
That's it. Yeah.
51% wanted more comedies. 46 wanted more suspense thrillers, and 55% wanted more action adventure besides the ones that were already in theaters.
Now, is this just comedy in general, or are they claiming they don't like the comedy that's been coming out and they want different types of comedy?
It's probably the different types of comedy.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I haven't seen a comedy movie since Ted.
Damn.
Ted and Ted 2.
Damn.
You saw Beetlejuice.
That didn't make me laugh. That was
the Fall Guy.
I think I more laughed at like the absurdity of like the.
Did you see like Strays or anything like that? The one with the talking animals.
No, I still haven't seen that one.
That was a good one. That's actually a pretty good one.
Really?
Yeah, you would have actually enjoyed that one.
Okay.
Yeah,
see, I would have liked to have seen that win.
See, there's sparsing comedies out there that have been good, but I can agree with you. Like lately, there hasn't been really a comedy that I really wanted to go to. Yeah.
Because I'm looking right now, like IDBM's best comedy movies of 2024 that someone made a list of. Mm-hmm. But obviously, like Deadpool Wolverine is number one.
Of course, yeah.
But even then, it's just to show you how bad that market is, they put a superhero film on top of the list.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know,
like the last, like, comedy I said I really saw was probably Good Boys, the one with the kids.
That's right.
Yeah. That's like the last one I think I really saw.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, it was meh. It wasn't like when's the last time you guys like had a stitch, you were bust up laughing, you were crying watching a movie, like in tears?
The Other Guys, probably.
Yeah, it's around there.
The Other Guys.
That was a good era.
Around there when you had
Hot Rod.
I won't consider Black Dynamite. So take Black Dynamite out of that list. No. Yeah.
Hot Rod was probably up there.
That's a while ago though. That's like what, 2005, 2006?
Yeah, I think 2007.
Yeah.
I think that whole 2000s like comedy when you had the Seth Rogen era.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was like to me the final like
End of that.
When you had the comedy pushing the boundaries.
Yeah.
Because now we do have, you know, quote unquote raunchy, but it's more like safe movies with sex jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like no, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Because like I don't know if you guys saw was it Ricky Sinicky?
No, I haven't seen that.
It's fun. It is funny, but it's more like. More dick jokes than anything else. That's all this.
Okay.
Damn, yeah, about 15 years ago. That's the last time I actually busted up from a movie.
That one. Gator needs his gat, you punk ass bitch.
Aim for the bushes.
Just straight fucking down.
See, that was the last time like I was completely like surprised watching a movie constantly from every scene so stupid.
Oh my god.
And before that one, I'll have to say like Tropic Thunder.
What was Walk Hard? Where didn't that come in that era?
Walk Hard. Yeah. Fuck, that's a great era.
2007.
Yeah. So I say 2000s.
Yeah.
The mid 2000s were probably like the best for, at least for my opinion, for more recent comedies. Yeah. Yes, they were in the 2010s, but not where it just hit that hard.
That was like that peak where it hit like so stupid comedy. You know what I'm talking about? Like where things were so fucking stupid. It was hilarious.
You had like the Adam McKay type of like writing comedies.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you had, and then Hot Rod. Yeah. You had like just like the weird, really stupid off the wall type shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Like that, but I think that kind of goes towards us because it's like we thrive on that type of stuff.
It's like its own little off putting niche from like slapstick, how we like airplane stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar in that range where it's like things are just so off the wall.
Yes.
But as one thing that does suck too is that, like I said, for us, it's funny. Because I know other people have watched other films that are like, man, this movie's stupid, but they fucking love it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of, I just remember watching a comedy movie and I thought I was just bored out of my mind. Mm. Yet the person I was with was laughing their ass off the entire time. And all I can remember is just, it was the one where one of the Wayne brothers, not the main, the younger one, was pretending to be cops.
Let's Be Cops.
Yeah, let's be cops.
I don't like that movie, but the person I was with was fucking laughing their ass off the entire time.
It's a funny movie.
It has moments.
It has moments, but to me, it's like
it's not like hot. Like,
I get you. Yeah.
So
like,
when people say, "Oh, we don't, you know, there's not enough comedies." No, there's comedies out there, but there's not your comedy.
Yeah.
So I think they're just kind of looking for their comedy, and I think that might be like the raunchy rom com. Like Vince Vaughn was kind of saying, like we watched Wedding Crashers not too long ago.
Yeah,
and some of the stuff that you be saying in that would definitely not fly.
Fly today, yeah.
But I mean, some of the shit that it was saying was still funny.
Oh yeah, no, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, I totally get you. Oh, one of them is done.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Anybody want one?
Get the mic first. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he gets this. Yeah.
All right. Shit. It's kind of hot. Ooh. Oh, that's toasty.
But it did show like the biggest target audience that has been upset and not happy with films has been in the age group 44 and up.
Yes, 44 and up audiences.
They're just dissatisfied.
Are the most dissatisfied with the current theatrical releases. Whereas you have 83% of those under 34 excited for upcoming releases.
Now, what do you think that can create that type of dynamic? I mean, it always like when you get older, you have that nostalgia goggles of what you used to like, movies and, you know, comedy things change. So it's always, you know, it's not like back in, we always heard that, you know, when we were growing up, you know, back in my days, this was funny, this was funny, this is funny. So I think it's just that current trend when you get older.
So people in their 40s, so that means they're probably in high school in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we look at like, let's say 1990s.
What comedies were out that time?
Yeah. So comedies from 1990s, you got like Dumb and Dumber. Austin Powers, Office Space, Groundhog's Day, Big Lebowski, pretty much, I guess they're talking about like the Adam Sandler era. Adam Sandler, Jim Carrey, the Paulie around that, like that comedy, what they're missing, that what they want.
That type of style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get you. I still haven't seen Wayne's World.
Really?
No?
Yeah. Still never seen Wayne's
World. Oh, that actually, you probably would like that one.
Yeah. You would like that one. Yeah.
I have to try that.
That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it's not to say like those films aren't funny or that bad or anything like that. It's just more like you do see the trend, how it happens from every generation. When you get older, everyone always reminisces about the films they enjoyed when they were younger.
Yeah. Because they also got movies like American Pie on that list as well, which would not fly for today.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. Definitely not.
That's I think another thing too is when the older crowd says, you know, oh, you know, our movies are different. I think it's just a bunch of jokes that would not fly. That's what it is.
That's basically what it is. It's just specific jokes in there that used to be funny that don't really become funny anymore.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad we got out of the realm of, and I've said it before, of like the realm of, yo, if we don't get laid by the end of junior year,
that whole, so, yeah.
Going into senior year virgins, that's unheard of. We'll never get any chicks. Yeah. Like, that's such a weird thought process to go into your senior year. Like, you would think it would want to get your grade up so you can graduate because you failed with like three Fs and somehow you're here.
See, I'm always that person who always tell people, shut up, whatever. You know, it was funny back then. Just let them have that.
Yeah.
The only one I don't agree is Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
I'm just like, maybe you guys should rewatch that one again.
Keep that where it is.
Yeah.
Don't bring it up. Keep it right where it is right now.
Right back back then.
If anybody is boasting about that now, it's like, God, that is still the fun. If they're saying still the funniest, that's a red fucking flag. You leave that person's house.
Okay? No, that's
ladies, leave that person's house immediately.
That's a movie you watch alone when no one's around. You just keep it to yourself.
Yeah. But overall, with the other percentages, you have at least, with all that calculated, only 6 prefer to wait for streaming. So, and overall for moviegoers and theater owners and whatnot like
We're seeing people want to go back to the theaters.
Yeah. They're
it's,
just...
Yeah.
It's an experience. They like that.
It is an experience. When you have the right movie, people will go to the theaters.
Yeah, because it also because you're not distracted by your phone. You're not distracted by what's around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're watching at home, you know, you could easily, you know, well, let me go to the kitchen real fast and get something to eat or, you know.
You always have find something to distract you away from the movie.
Yeah, you know, you have your pets are bothering you or something, you know, something like that.
You're just in a room with like 50 other people or something like that, all about to experience the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's kind of cool.
It's nice.
When
it's
you have that.
Yeah. All right, going to our last bit of film news before we hit our break. The NBC Universal is seeking $7 million for 2026 Super Bowl commercial ads.
This was interesting. I was trying to read through and trying to navigate my way of like the their I guess, thinking process of what they're, and I'm assuming this is only from what, number two is
right. Fox was charging $8 million.
That's true.
So, and what, they got like $800 million back for ad revenue. Mm-hmm. So for NBC Universal to claim it's cheaper and for it to tie to other Olympic sport events and stuff like that, it's actually a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, still not as good. I'm like, I remember the days where like a Super Bowl commercial was just $1 million flat.
Yeah, but even then at that time, we're like, holy fuck, $1 million?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. Now we're like, Jesus Christ.
Like, I feel like the value for the Super Bowl commercials, the pricing went past inflation.
Yes.
It went past inflation and value for me.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not as, those commercials aren't.
No, because I remember, okay, if anybody that grew up in the, like, again, 2000s, I'm not, it sounds like I'm stuck in that one era, but when you watch Super Bowl during like the 2000s, 2010s, you went to watch because of the commercials a lot of times.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had like, even like Doritos had their own user submitted commercials.
I remember those days. Those were good. Yeah. Those were good.
And you, they had some wild, I mean, if you go back and look at the archives, like some wild, wild commercials.
Yeah.
Nowadays, to me, it's like your, the, what's called the Anheuser-Busch commercials. It's just the horse trotting and like some sad story and that's it.
Yeah.
Where back then used to be some crazy wild one that you would watch. What was the other standard ones we used to see? Like say Doritos.
Skittles.
Skittles was unhinged.
Also, that was the time when you saw like they premiered the movie trailer as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. The Super Bowl. Yeah, they would have like the Super Bowl premiere.
I mean, movie trailers don't even really have much of a hit anymore ever since they had them being placed on YouTube. Yeah. Like, remember, you had to go to a movie theater to watch the upcoming trailers for a movie you know that was going to come out.
We're definitely in the nostalgia era right now of mindset, because we're like, back in our day.
There are some things that were just better when it came to movies.
Because we talked about
that's what our parents said too.
We talked about a couple days ago. We talked about like, oh, we missed the era, kind of missed the era of like, the midnight
premiere. Remember the midnight premiere?
Yeah. That was cool.
But when you really think about it, it's like, nah, I'm good. I like assigned seating. I'm good.
That's true. Yeah, I am fine with that. I don't like the idea that you came early was so that way you could find a good seat.
Yeah. But also a commander thing where you would like show up and there's people waiting with you. You're waiting outside altogether an hour before the filming starts.
It's true.
You're waiting with a bunch of other people. You're talking to other people. But then there's a chance you're gonna fight.
Over I don't like the fights. I do not miss the fights back then, man.
Oh yeah, damn, he got the golden brown. Oh, he saved the best for last.
Look at that.
As you should. We put him to work. Yeah.
Ooh, what was that one movie we were running late and you had that family that was fucking with the soda machine?
Oh my god!
I forgot what
that family of five. Son of a bitch! I was all. I was missing my trailers. Dude, I don't even fucking remember what movie it was. I don't remember what
movie that was, yeah.
But I was heated. I remember. I was so fucking pissed. No, wait. Wasn't that like, wasn't it Get Out? Or no, or was it Nope?
I think it was Nope.
Because I remember getting pissed. Yeah, you're that family. I was like, hurry the fuck up, man. And then we were like, oh, I think this one's out of ice. Let's let somebody know. What the move, bitch! I was so mad.
There's a family of five just so astonished by the new Coke machine to have digital selection.
We're so fucking off topic.
Yeah.
Anywho, from what I was reading in this article, is that they're saying that they're already offering $7 million already for Super Bowl ad spots for 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a lot of money, right? For a short amount of time. From what I gathered is that it's possibly also a buy-in because NBC will also be filming into next year, of this fall into next year. They have the NBA games, of course, but then you have the Winter Olympics and the All-Star game and, of course, the Super Bowl. So all that happening within this year span into like the end of this year, fall, following into next year.
Now, are these package deals for these companies to produce content for the Super Bowl, and then that same commercial gets carried over to the others, or do they produce separate content for those other events?
That's what I'm assuming, is that it's kind of like,
because that's a deal. If you have to do one commercial and just gets carried over that same commercial to the other sporting events, that's an actual good deal right there. If so, you don't have to keep
yeah
so $7 million for like five events, Or is it $7 million per event?
That's what I was trying to figure out, because it sounds as if like $7 million for all these events. Mm. $7 million to buy in, and then you have all these events to be able to broadcast your stuff. Because their selling point was that they offered something similar back in 2022, where you had people that only purchased the Super Bowl ads because they also had the Olympics, right? The
Summer Olympics. Yeah.
Where they only bought the Super Bowl ads, and they missed out on the potential millions of viewers for the Olympics.
Because they only paid for one and not for both. Got it.
Versus someone who, or advertisements who only bought spots for the Olympics and only missed out on, like, say, like a few more million or something like that for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So I think this is their way to say, like, you buy $7 million to this, then maybe this is like a package deal where you get this plus a reserve spot for these other events as well.
It does make sense they're doing something like this, because LA for the next couple of years, we talked about this before, it's going to be heavy hosting a lot of events.
Yeah.
We are hosting a lot of major worldwide events. So it does make sense that, hey, you know, since we're having all these year to year to year to year, some of them multiple in the same year.
Yeah.
Make a deal with us. You produce like 5 commercials for us, and then we'll put each one, you know, that will seem like a smart decision to do that.
However, it was also going on about, because of the current tariffs that are affecting prices of consumers, as well as like a bunch of layoffs that are happening with firing everybody and whatnot.
Yeah.
That the consumer may have a little bit of a tighter fist having to do with money wise. You know, like being able to spend money to go out to whatever these events whatever is going to be, or any, if anything, buying any products or any advertisement or buying any of the advertisements of what could be shown will be way less than what they're projecting, because the amount of money is going to be tighter. It's going to be a tighter strain. So they're not going to be able to have as much of that spending money.
Well, I think they're misjudging things. I don't think altogether spending has decreased. It's shifted. Mm-hmm. You know, people will always be spending. They'll always be buying things. It's just not the things that they're expecting people to spend money on is probably something else. They're buying something else. The money's going elsewhere.
Gotcha.
So I think they need to shift the focus on what type of companies they need to allow commercials for and testing out and really analyzing the market to see what are people buying right now.
Yeah.
I think that's more of a shift rather than just an overall general decrease in spending.
Yeah.
Because if they find the right people who are producing the right type of products that people are buying, guarantee you, is probably going to be just as good as Fox making $800 million in ad revenue sales. So, So I think it's really depends on who you have commercials for now.
Gotcha.
It can't just be like, oh, we just have a Buick commercial because, you know, it's Buick.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? If no one's buying Buick, what's the point?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsor, and when we get back, we're going to cover up our main topic tonight. So stay tuned. We'll be right back to you guys.
And now for the smaller news topics that couldn't make it in today's episode. Texas Chainsaw Massacre IP rights have returned to Exuvia Films and are now shopping it around for buyers. This comes one day after the Jason Bourne IP rights have expired under Universal and is now being shopped around by WME, a representative of Robert Ludlum. California handed out tax credits for 51 film projects this year, 46 of them being independent films, with only 3 of them from major studios, such as Universal, 20th Century, and Warner Brothers. Despite pumping $578 million into the economy, California is trying to find a way to keep the major studios in the state. And lastly, Saw 11 has been canceled.
Fuck!
Due to delays, Lionsgate is replacing it with The Strangers Chapter 2. And that's it for the smaller news. Now, back to the episode.
And we are back, covering over our main topic tonight. This is actually a pretty interesting one. We have Apple is losing over $1 billion a year on their streaming service.
Yeah.
But does it really matter? Because their main point of this isn't trying to actually bring in subscribers or watchers. What they're trying to do is bring in more people to purchase Apple products. They're trying to pull in the whole Amazon Prime shift, where, you know, Amazon, they have the position where with their Prime streaming video, they can use that to funnel and advertise their merch on their store platform, Amazon.com. So it works well because Amazon, who doesn't have an Amazon account?
Yeah.
Who doesn't use Amazon?
Yeah.
So it works well with them because they have enough material. They have enough product to sell on their streaming service to fluctuate the losses of how much they get or how much they lose from Prime Video. I don't know if Apple in general has that type of pull with their products. I know they make a lot of money annually. It's like $395 billion. So yeah, them losing $1 billion a year isn't going to do much. But do they have that overall market share pull to bring people onto Apple TV Plus knowing or believing that's going to help them sell more Apple products?
Dude, it's... No.
No.
Okay, I went on to the... I'm right now on the Apple website itself.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're trying to sell a computer, a phone, an iPad, a watch, Apple Vision Pro, which I thought those shits was canceled.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
They're
yeah.
still out?
Yeah, they're still out, so. Apparently.
They might have a still stock of them. So they're
still, oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
AirPods, AirTags, and the Apple TV 4K, which if you're watching the Apple TV, you'll probably already have that.
But that's it, right?
Yeah. That's it. So unless they're trying to sell Apple Watches with the character comes up and, you know, let me check my time and does the... Points it right at the camera.
Yeah.
While, you know, Amazon, you could easily go find clothing, electronics, toys, kitchenware. You know, they have, they're an open market. They have such variety of content and products on their website. It makes it so easy. You can pull like, hey, this show has this cooking stuff and this t-shirt. If you like those, you can go to this Amazon link and purchase. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They have the ability to do that with every single one of their shows.
And as well, remember we talked about the AI usage in for Amazon,
mm-hmm.
which it's looking more likely they're going to do where you're able to pause the screen and able to click the item itself and link you directly to the Amazon page.
Can you imagine it's like more just fucking in your face? Like they stop the show and have like a pop-up ad. Buy this shirt now.
Dude.
With a little spinning wheel timer.
Like they're like they have like a product or something like that. And they're like, what time's the plane get in? Hold on, let me check the time. And it goes like a really close-up tight on the watch.
Yeah.
And like, hold on, I got to mess with my new feature. It's got touch face interface. Like... It's got finger touch interface, so now I can actually touch any corner I want, slide up, and go directly to the plane route. Like, wow, that's pretty interesting.
Like Prime Video has ads, right?
Yes. Now they have ads. They have the ad version and non-ad version.
Fuck
ads. And do those ads are just content and products that's marketing from their store, or is it just regular people purchasing ad time on their
network? Right now, it's just ad time.
Okay.
Including with their ads, you know, they're the Audible... Ring, you know,
stuff that they
already sell on there. But even then, like stuff like that.
Okay.
The fact that they have like they own multiple product lines. Mm-hmm. So like I said, they show a ring on the, you know, on what's it called, on Amazon exclusive show.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's the only place you could buy it from, or buy it through the Amazon store mm-hmm. or the Amazon company. So I mean, for Apple to say, you know, we're gonna try to sell iPhones on there, dude. It's, come on,
yeah, like, and yet again, I do want to really reiterate this, both these companies, they can afford losing billions of dollars every year from just how much money they pull in just from their products in general.
No, they can. But as well, it's not big problem is that, not problem, but I would say that when it comes to Apple products, you're spending your hundreds of dollars on each item. They're not cheap products. Mm-hmm. Versus Amazon, you're able to find products that they sell for $20, $30,
$10, $5. Yeah,
$10. Yeah. So they'll, or even in, if you're Amazon, you have Amazon Prime, they entice you with, hey, you know, you could buy this ring product and we'll give you 6 months of payments mm-hmm. with your own credit card, or with your own debit card. You don't have to purchase our credit system.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll give you, they'll entice you that way as well.
But like I always make this comparison, like how I always mention when it comes to like Disney owning Marvel, you know, they spend a shit ton of money on these movies, and most of these movies, they don't make the same money that they expect to make as general other blockbuster films. Mm-hmm. They tend to lose quite a bit of money on these Marvel films, but what they get money from is all the merchandising, the t-shirts, toothbrush, backpacks, video games, all that stuff. That's where they really put in the effort of making these high production value films, knowing they're not going to make money, but they're going to get a shit ton of money back just from merch.
Yeah. Like,
but yet again, you can't have the same thing when it comes to like Warner Brothers or Universal. They don't have that type of pull Disney have to just lose money on all these films.
No. Well, I'm like, or not on Amazon. I just literally looked up Marvel toys.
Yeah.
And you could find a toys for under 10, you know, a six pack of toys for $20. Mm-hmm. Captain America, Brave New World, the Red Hulk, $15. Mm-hmm. And these are small toys, not best quality, but they're meant for kids.
Yeah.
So they, you know, kids have, parents have no problem buying these little crappy little toys mm-hmm. that the kids are going to break in, you know, in a month. Mm-hmm. Versus Universal, you know, a lot of times they do releases like collector items. Mm-hmm.
And it does really kind of make you rethink how all these different companies have their different business strategies when it comes to streaming. Because we always talk about like everyone's trying to catch up to Netflix, everyone's trying to catch up to Netflix. But there's certain companies who don't really need to do that. Like Disney and Amazon, mm-hmm. all they need to do is just use this service to help. These services are basically just more ads. You see what I'm saying? Like Marvel movies are just ads for their merchandising and toys.
Yeah.
Amazon Prime Video is just more ads for people to buy more on Amazon. So they're not really in the streaming game just to get higher subscribers. I mean, it's nice to have more subscribers for more money, but that's not really their end goal as per se, like Paramount Plus, they really need their streaming service to work. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? HBO Max, or just now Max, they really need the streaming service to work to survive. Mm-hmm. So it's a big difference with how different companies are handling the whole streaming service. Their stream wars, as like we like to say it. Yeah. They have different aspects. They are coming at this with different angles. And I'm not sure if this is a smart strategy for Apple and how long they're going to hold on to the Apple TV before they just either sell it to someone else or just get rid of it all the general.
Honestly, it lasts a lot longer than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, with the amount of money that they're, even though they're losing $1 billion,
yeah,
like a year, they're making so much money, but that it's just like, it's just nothing.
Did the streaming yeah. service help them get that $395 billion, or they're just losing money and it's kind of like a burden?
I don't think there's like a, I don't think there's a direct correlation between the two mm-hmm. of it like being the one that's
helping bringing in this higher yeah. revenue stream. Yeah,
because their overall end goal, like they're looking further down the line of what Apple TV mm-hmm. can provide as far as like you know, ways to sell their merchandise. So it's not effectively right now their main money contributor, mm-hmm. you know, but it is an asset they don't mind paying for, because I mean, you have just last quarter them bringing in $124 billion.
Yeah.
So even that $1 billion that they're losing from Apple TV, it's not really enough to hurt their bottom line.
Yeah. But I'll say this, like at what point is it just wasteful money if it's not going to help them bring in any extra revenue? You see what I'm saying?
When does every rich corporation stop doing something because it's wasteful?
When they start getting the huge debts?
No, you just double down. Look at Warner Brothers.
I was about to say, just do the Warner Brothers. Just double down, man.
Every major studio has some sort of like,
hey, huge-ass
debt.
We have a $54 billion debt. Let's buy Discovery.
Fuck it.
Double down.
That's going to make us money. You keep doing the wrong till it turns out right. That's the American way.
Perfect, man. They are the American company.
Exactly. You don't get more American than that.
But I don't know, like, I feel like Apple in general as a company needs to sell more than just their electronics and stuff mm-hmm. for this business strategy to actually be ample enough to contain. You see what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. the idea is you want Apple TV to be self-sustaining.
Yeah.
That's the whole end point. So if you're just losing money every year, at some point you're going to be like, well, this is not really helping bring in any extra revenue streams. No one's really subscribing anymore. People are not buying products because of Apple TV. So how long do you just keep holding on to this until you realize, oh, we're just wasting money? Or is it just pride and just going to throw the money at the streaming service because you can't afford to lose that money? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like at some point it needs to be smart enough so it's just generating its own income.
Yeah.
And I know that's what everyone wants to do at the end of the day. Amazon Prime, even though they still lose money, at the end of the day, they're still hoping eventually Prime Video will just be self-sustaining income. Mm-hmm. You know, Disney Plus for Disney, self-sustaining income. They're not just shitting on a lot of money just trying to keep that thing going.
Yeah.
So that is the whole point, because no matter what, everyone's still trying to follow Netflix. Netflix is the reigning king right now when it comes to video content.
Mm-hmm. I mean, shoot, Max has already outperformed what has already outperformed Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Already.
Disney and Peacock.
So, yeah, they're number two, right?
Yeah.
Right now? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It goes like Netflix, then Max. So,
yeah.
That is Max's end goal, to try to take over Netflix's reign as the king of streaming. But I just don't see how that's going to be viable for anyone when you're so focused. Netflix only focuses on streaming. They don't focus on anything. So yeah. You have Warner Brothers trying to do his theatrical releases and then streaming his other stuff. Disney, you know, they have their parks, they have their toys, the merchandise, Marvel, Star Wars. All, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, everyone has their hands in too many different cookie pots.
You can't get into the game this late.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah. And try and do the same thing. Yeah, Netflix is only focusing on one thing, streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix only does streaming.
Yeah.
That's all they're known for.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you see any other company trying to follow in regards to like Apple TV or Amazon Prime, where they're just using their streaming service just to bring more income in for their products or any type of other business ventures? Like, do you see like NBC Universal using any of their streaming service to like, hey man, come to Universal Studios, buy our merch and stuff like that? Do you see them trying to do anything like that?
No. All I could think of is like Universal going like the, like they did with Transformers.
Yeah.
Where the movie's heavily,
God,
product placements.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I think. Like a movie's like a studio doing that where they say, fuck it, we need money. Make product placement the movie. I don't care. Yeah. Just make it happen.
Like I'm surprised like Warner Brothers, when they had the whole time with the DC Universe, why didn't they have a bigger push for merchandise?
Remember, they did.
No. We talked about this. They only did it whenever their films were coming out, and then they really calmed that shit down. It came in waves.
Yes.
But never had a sustaining line of just merchandise just endlessly going.
Because they were trying to go for the darker universe,
mm-hmm.
and you can't sell that to kids.
That's true.
And with Marvel, obviously, they have all the superheroes, and they can easily make them
family-friendly. Yeah,
make them family-friendly. And even then, they do have family-friendly versions of the Marvel characters. They have what's called the Disney. I guess I don't want to say this, but the kid version of Disney Channel. They have like what's it called, a Superheroes Club or whatever it is, and like
Yeah.
I don't know, but like they have like these little cartoonish styles of all the Marvel characters that are in the big film. But now they make them all cute and friendly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, they even do it with like Deadpool now. I see like 6-year-olds with like a Deadpool backpack. And they even found ways to bring that down to a family-friendly manner. So yeah, I do agree with that. It's a lot easier to pitch and market Marvel films because of how they're produced. They're a lot more family-friendly in comparison to DC films where like, yeah, it's dark, it's brooding, we got... You know, Superman versus Batman. We got a shitty Justice League. We got a very depressing Superman, Man of Steel.
Yeah.
We got a fucking unhinged Flash.
Dude, there's a Deadpool Nerf gun.
Yeah, see?
I literally went put Deadpool on Amazon, see what popped up. And yeah, I was like, damn, I guess.
Yeah, like that's merch that I was able to sell to a whole family, both adults and kids. Weirdly enough, it still worked, even though, you know, bam,
yeah,
rated R.
But as far as like other streaming services, I don't see them using their streaming service as a platform to sell more products.
Yeah.
If anything, I see them trying to sell products based of whatever the content that they made.
Like, I'm surprised Sony hasn't even tried anything yet. I mean, they're always behind in the game. They're always behind in the game. But yeah, to get, you know, Sony speakers, Sony, you know, electronics and stuff. I'm surprised they haven't tried to merge the two together for shitty ad placements in their movies.
I mean, I see it more in terms of like video games.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
I've seen like a lot of their product, like cell phones and whatnot like that. Like you look at those, you play like any of the games, like no matter what game.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of Sony products in there.
You're going to see a lot of like Sony products, like gadgets and stereos and phones and, you know, just stuff like that.
Which is weird because no one buys a Sony phone.
I know.
No one does.
I've not seen one ever.
Right?
I see them a lot in video games and their advertisement, but I've never seen anyone use one.
Same.
I don't know. This is actually pretty interesting, though. I wonder if this is going to be something that's going to be constant for Apple, or eventually like Apple TV is just gonna actually increase in subscribers, make more money for them, or if it's just gonna fully crash out. That's gonna be really interesting how it's gonna move forward. Yeah. I think it's gonna crash out, so but that's, who knows, we'll have to wait and see. Do you guys have anything else to add before we fully close out?
Yeah, that's it.
Dead ass silence from you guys. Well, we want to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode. I'm curious on your thoughts for tonight's topic. How do you feel about Apple streaming service losing over $1 billion a year? Do you think it's stupid for them? Do you think they're smart? You can leave a comment below if you're watching this on a Red Band Podcast YouTube channel for our listeners to discuss episode topics and various other film-related news. We put out episodes every Wednesday for our audio listeners and Fridays for those who like to watch our videos. For our audio listeners, you can find the Red Band Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. And, of course, I'll say again, you can watch our video format on our Red Band Podcast channel on YouTube. And before I fully close out, Mike Hassel's last end notes for you guys.
Yes, as Anthony mentioned, all the different ways you can be listening to us, as well as watch us on youtube.com/TheRedBandPodcast. Look for the screaming microphone. Videos usually come out every Friday. You can be able to watch these episodes live as the time that they're recorded. And if you're on the go, you can be able to listen to us on Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. So consider sending this to a friend or family that you think might enjoy these. And subscribe, comment down below, and leave those 5-star reviews. We'd really appreciate it. We'd love that. And yeah, you would just be really helping us out. Of course, our Patreon account is up. It's always up. So head on over there and consider subscribing to that too, because more subscribers equals more content. So we want to keep making these for you. And we really appreciate it if you could subscribe so we can make stuff, you know, and sponsors. You know, if you're listening to this and someone's like, hey, Big Al's Burritos is looking for a place to sponsor, we'll take Big Al's Burritos. We love Big Al's Burritos.
Yeah.
And that's all I got.
All right, you guys heard it from Mike. Please like and subscribe. We'll see you next time.
Later, taters.